1 Samuel chapter number 17, and we shall begin at verse number 26. 1 Samuel 17, verse 26 and verses following. David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, "What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine, and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine, that he should defy the armies of the living God?" And the people answered him after this manner, saying, "So shall it be done to the man that killeth him." And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, "Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the narrowness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle." David said, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" I want to talk about again, talked about this last week, just continuing. All in. Amen. Please be seated in the presence of the Lord. All in. Amen. All in denotes being totally, irrevocably dedicated to whatever it is that you are committed to. And for we who are in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are totally, irrevocably dedicated to the things of God. Amen. Sometimes when we hear a message like this, we will rush down the road, and that's always a danger. Don't get ahead of the preacher. But we'll run down the road and wait for him because we think that he wants to lambast us for not being all in. And that's not the case at all. We want to talk about being all in because it's such a great place to be. And there are those who are all in, amen, and they experience the joy, the satisfaction that comes from being all in. Amen. It's a joy when you are totally, irrevocably dedicated to whatever it is that you are committed to. Amen. Think about how your relationship would be if you were totally, irrevocably dedicated to your spouse. Amen. That she becomes, amen, the cream of your coffee, ice in your tea, air conditioning in your hot room. Amen. You're all in. Amen. Just think about the relationship. Now, I really want us to see this in the context. Well, think about it. We've been in the last month or so, we had Hurricane Harvey to come through. Did tremendous damage. But in the midst of the storm, you had people who were totally dedicated to helping. Amen. I saw folk who put on their boat on the back of their trailer and hooked it onto their pickup and came from Pascagoula, Mississippi. Amen. To help. And no one purchased gas for them. They came on their own dime because they were totally all in. Amen. There were those who were in neighborhoods that were inundated by the floodwaters. They were carrying people out. Amen. Had some in their arms and then some on their backs. Amen. Didn't even know the folk, but they were all in. Amen. They saw the need and they responded to that need. And what they received from that was the satisfaction of they had helped somebody. And this is just a P.S., not part of my message, but amen. When you help somebody as you pass along this way, then you're living is not in vain. Amen, amen, amen. But think about those who would spend all day in these murky waters, amen, not knowing what's in there, carrying people out, people that didn't know, amen, that's right, people of a different ethnicity. None of that was the point. It was that there was a need, and we understand need and the opportunity equals responsibility. And when we can reach out and help somebody, how wonderful life is. But in thinking about being all in, we have to look at what causes this. How do we get to that point where we are all in? Well, on last week, we looked at all in terms of the life of Esther. Amen. Esther committed herself to the salvation of her people. On today, we look at David, who is committed to honoring the God of the universe. Amen, amen, amen. And so there are several things I want us to see what causes folk to be all in. Amen. Several things that causes people to be all in. Hey, number one, say number one.
Number one.
Amen. It's a cause. There has to be a cause. Amen, amen. For David, the cause was, here is this 9-foot-9-inch giant that is a reproach to the God of Israel. And all of Israel are standing shivering in their boots because of this giant. And David said he would fight him to take away the reproach from Israel. And I don't know about you, but I have come to the conclusion that I have a cause, and that cause is the cause of Christ. The Bible said that Jesus came that we would have life and have it more abundantly. Do you realize that there are so many people who are living beneath where God wants them to be? And they need somebody to remind them that you don't need to be there. God has ordained that you would live better than that. But they need to know out of the Word of God how we can have a better life. Oh, thank you, Holy Ghost. Some people think they are consigned, amen, to living down and out. And the reason I know that, I can hear us pray. Lord, this is your poor and humble servant. I mean, you start out down and out, and it never gets any better. But if I serve a God who's rich in houses and land, the earth is the Lord, and the fullness thereof, God wants better for me than to stay down and out. Amen. God will meet me right where I am, but God loves me too much to let me stay where I am. Amen. God wants for me the best. Can't you hear the apostle saying in 3 John 2nd verse, beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. The Lord wants us to have something. Now, I'm not here with a prosperity message, and I am here with a prosperity message. Amen. Because the God that I serve, amen, says, I will bless you with everything you need. You see, part of the problem that David could see was Israel was living beneath where they were supposed to be. Israel were never supposed to be afraid of anybody. Let me say that again because you didn't get that. Amen. Israel was never to fear her enemies as long as she trusted in the Lord. Listen at Exodus 23 and verse 22. If thou shalt indeed hear his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies and an adversary unto thine adversaries. Another way to say that is, I will afflict them that afflict you. And I want you to know that if God is on your side, who can be against you? We get upset sometimes and we don't realize that we have an adversary who's greater than anyone who can come against us. If God be for you, who can be against you? Oh, they might try to afflict you, but amen. But God knows how to take what they're doing to you and turn it around. Somebody needs to know the God we serve will turn it around. Amen, amen. That becomes the boomerang effect. Amen. They try to take you out, but what they use to take you out takes them out. And have I got a witness? If we realize that it was never his intent, amen, for us to worry about other folk. Amen. If God is on your side, who is greater that can stand against you? Amen. When God stands for you, he becomes your sword and your shield. Your shield and your buckler. Now, I don't know if that's not enough protection for you. Amen. It's all right for me. But maybe that's not enough for you. The old folks say, he's my all in all. And when he is your all in all, anything that you might not be able to speak it, amen, he causes it to come to pass. Now, let me share something with you. Because sometimes we're looking for God to do something for us. And I heard a preacher say this morning, we're looking for God to sign the check, Jehovah Jireh. But the truth of the matter is, this Jehovah Jireh works through folk. Somebody didn't get that. Amen. He works through folk. He will call somebody to bless you. Amen. 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 When I look at the case of David, amen, David says, you know, if I might use the vernacular of the young people, what's up with this? Amen. Here, this uncircumcised Philistine standing in the valley of Elah saying, send me a man. I'll fight anyone who comes down. And the children of Israel are shaking in fear because of this giant. But can I tell you something, folks? You got folk today who are shaken because of the giants in their lives. Sickness, poverty, amen, politics. But God, can I tell you something? We have someone who's greater than whatever that circumstance is. It might seem to loom tall in our lives, but God has a way of cutting it down to size. Hallelujah. I heard somebody ask one time, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. God knows how to cut it down one bite at a time. And God be for you. Who can be against you? But God sends David down to the front of the front of the battle. And the well, really it's not a battle because nobody's fighting. Amen. It was to be a battle if you could get somebody to fight. Amen. 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 Goliath says, I'm ready to fight. Israel says, we are not ready. You go. And then it was you go. You ever notice that we still have that today? You do it. No, you do it. You do it. And when you wind up, nobody does it. Amen. But I'm glad that we serve a God who knows how to make all things work together for the good to those who love God, who are the called according to his purpose. And David says, what's up with this? Somebody tells him, and his brother hears what's going on, and instead of encouraging, he gets ticked off. Look at him in verse 28. Why did you come down here? And then he castigates the sheep. left them few sheep in the wilderness. Well, the truth of the matter is they were their sheep too, because they belonged to their father. Have I got a witness? And listen to what he says in verse 20. I know your pride, the naughtiness of thine heart. You've come down just to see what's happening. And we still have folk who want to see what's happening. But let me tell you something. If God is on your side, there is a predictable outcome. Now, y'all didn't get that. There is a predictable outcome. Does not matter how large the giant is, there is a predictable outcome. Amen. And so we first have to determine what is the cause. Why is there a need to do something? Amen. There is a cause. But then after the cause, we need to understand that there must be a concern. Amen. That can be a cause, but if you're not concerned about what's going on, then it means nothing to you. Amen. But when you have a concern, David's concern is found in both verse 10 and verse 26. David says, this Philistine defies the armies of Israel. Verse 26. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Amen. If we understand God's blessings, that God wants the best for us, then we're not going to let the things of the world come against us. Well, somebody says, show me, Pastor. I'm glad you said that. Amen. We always say, show me. That's why we said, I will search the scriptures to see if it be so. Amen. In Deuteronomy 28, verses 3 through 14 are all the blessings that God wants to share with his people who are obedient to him. But I would call your attention to verse number 13. Listen. And the Lord shall make thee the head. Oh, somebody not getting this. The Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. If you find yourself the tail, you're not where God wants you to be. If you're beneath, you're not where God wants you to be. And I've got to trust God that he's going to put me where he wants me to be. Amen. So David's concern was Israel, in being defied, they had forgotten their place in the Lord. Amen. I see folk today who are all upset about the political spectrum. You have forgotten where God has placed you. Amen. There are those who say, I'm a Democrat. Those say, I'm a Republican. Well, I drop by to tell you, I'm a theocrat. Amen. God is the head of my party. And if God is at the head of my party, he has never lost an election. Amen. Because he's the only candidate on the ballot. Now somebody not getting that. They're not getting this. Amen. They think it's multiple choice. It's either this one or that one. No, it's just God. God is by himself. We have to know, where should I be? I'm the head, not the tail. And parents, tell your children going in, you're the head, not the tail. You are above and not beneath. And I love that passage, because what he really says in clarity, and thou shalt be above only. Oh, somebody didn't get that. Amen. Look at it again. That's the only place you're supposed to be. If you're anywhere else, you're in the wrong place. If God is speaking to you and you're under somebody's foot, then you're in the wrong place. Amen. There has to be a concern. Amen. David's concern was the Goliath had defied the armies of Israel, and now God's name is besmirched, because it seems like people have trusted in a God who cannot do what he said he would do. But can I tell you something? As long as we trust God to do what God said he would do, But it's interesting in that passage that we read, because it begins with if, and it's, and it, in the middle of it is then. And we don't get that. If and then. You see, if you will obey me, if you will do what I have commanded to do, then I will do what I have said I'd do. But if you don't do what I tell you to do, do not expect me to get you out of your mess all the time. Go ahead and preach, Pastor. Amen. We walk away from the Lord and we get in trouble, and then nobody can call out louder than those who have gotten themselves in trouble. But God is good. He'll get us out. But at some point, God says, amen, enough is enough. Enough is enough. Amen, amen. We need to look at where we are positionally. Are you where God wants you to be? When you are being fulfilled, and that's really only God gives you that fulfillment. I know all of you college folk like to talk about Maslow's theory, the hierarchy. But let me tell you something. The true fulfillment comes from God. When you do what God says for you to do, there's a fulfillment, a contentment that you can only find in Him. Hallelujah. You have to be concerned, though, about what's going on. You know, we like to say a rising tide lifts every boat. It would be good if that were true. But the unfortunate is there are times when the tide rises and some of our boats don't get. But if you trust God, God's rising tide will raise all of our boats. But we have to learn how to trust Him in everything. Amen. We see God as a spiritual being, and God is a spiritual being, but God affects Himself in your secular life. Amen. He's not just God on Sunday. He's God on Monday. He's God on Wednesday. He's God on Thursday. He's God all of the time. And I need to realize that He's God, and He's God all of the time. And so I turn all of my life over to God, and I trust Him that He will cause it all to work together for my good. And so there has to be a concern. I need to be concerned about whether my brothers and sisters are going along as well. Amen. I know I'm on my way to heaven, and I want all of my brothers and sisters to be there with me. Talk to me, somebody. Amen. It is not enough for me to walk, amen, streets that are paved with gold, to be able to behold walls of jasper, gates of pearls. I want you to see them as well. And so I want you to be there with me. And so somebody said, how come you like to hoop? I like to hoop because I want you in heaven with me. But you see, all of what we get is not on the other side. God gives you a good life on this side when you trust Him. Amen. You see, we like to think it's a pie in the sky when you die. No, it's more than that. God gives you, even if you don't have two dimes to rub together, if God is in your life, amen, you're rich. Amen. When you can trust Him, amen. I don't know how all my bills are going to get paid. Miraculously, God knows how to take care of everything. We just turn them over to Him. But while we're talking about that, we've got to be careful, because some folk will make a lot of bills expecting God to pay them all. Well, you got to watch that. Amen. 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 Yeah, God's going to take care of all my... Yeah, He will. Amen. But be careful with the bills you make, because you're going to have to pay them. Hallelujah. So there has to be a concern. I'm concerned. Amen. I'm concerned about the things of God that... There is now more of a focus on bringing God down to our level. Amen. And we want to deify Him. We want to make Him like us. And you will never understand God aside from His word. He is what He reveals in His word. He wants us to live like He reveals in His word. Can I tell you something, my brothers and sisters? as you read the Bible, this book is a book of redemption. Amen. God wants us to be the best, and to be the best, we have to be one of His. We need to look in what is He saying to me in His Word. Hallelujah. When I see Him, amen, as He presents Himself in His Word to David, amen. Now, amen. I can see the third thing I want us to see in this is there has to be a commitment. Amen. You have to commit to do the will of God. Amen. You can see the cause. You can know the cause. There can be some concern. But until you commit to get involved, amen, you're not enjoying being all in. But when you commit yourself, amen, not my mother, not my brother, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Too oft times we're looking for somebody else when the Lord said, I've put it in your hands. Amen, amen, amen. And it's so amazing because David is just a young lad. And he's willing, because he's committed, to fight this giant. All of the armies, amen, was there shaking in fear. But David said, amen, I will go, verse 32, and fight with this Philistine. Now, when I read that, that gave me an excitement because in reading it, he says, I will go and fight with this Philistine. But can I tell you something, folks? The battle is not yours. It's the Lord's. Somebody didn't get that. The battle is not yours. You just do your part and God will do the rest. Amen. But if you never commit to do anything, amen. I tell folk all the time, God is not going to come down here and vacuum this building. Hallelujah. Amen. There are some things that God expects us to do, and there are things that only God can do. And my brothers and sisters, God will do what only God can do, but He expects you to do what you can do. And so the fight with this Philistine, knowing that it's a collaborative effort, when you do your best, God will do the rest. Amen, amen. I want us to see the commitment as it is emphasized. David says, let no man's heart, amen. Don't let your heart get upset. Amen. Because I will go and fight with him. Again, look at verse 32. Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Amen. The battle is already being drawn. God is going to really do the fighting. David will be the instrumentality. When we look at David can make a statement like that, we have to see, amen, David's confidence. Not only is there commitment, but there has to be confidence. And David's confidence did not rest in his own powers, but rather his confidence would lie in the power of the living God, whose honor had been violated by the Philistines. And whose covenant promises, amen, had been scorned by the Israelites. Now, what'd you just say, Pastor? Because somebody missed that. Amen. Amen. The honor of God had been violated by the Philistines. Can I tell you something, my brothers and sisters? When you come up against the people of God, God takes that personally. No, I'm going to tell you. Let me tell these folks. When you come against the people of God, God takes that personally. Amen. You are coming at God through His people. And God is not going to let you, amen, be successful against His people. And I wish I had time to go through all the battles that the Lord had won. Amen. But they were violating the honor of Almighty God. And then the worst part about it is the covenant promises that had been made to the Israelites had been scorned by the Israelites. Amen. Instead of them saying, God has said he will do this. Amen. They were fearful in their lives. But God has a way of making things work. Notice what he says. Notice what he says. He says, amen, in verse number, in Psalm 9 and 10, and they that know thy name will put thy trust in thee, for thy Lord has not forsaken them that seek thee. And I want you to know that God will never forsake those that are his. Have I got a witness? If we know how to trust God, God knows how to take care of us. When we let the Lord move in our lives, amen, we can be all in. All in. David was all in because of what God had done, what God was doing, and what God would do. Amen. David had the confidence to know that if God was able to rescue him when the bear and the lion attacked the flock, that same God had that same power. And we need to know that the God that we serve has all power. Amen. God can protect us wherever we are, any way he chooses. Amen. Now that does not mean that I need to walk out in the middle of Highway 6 and say I'm a child of God. No, it just means that I trust him as I live day to day. And I know that God's protection has been afforded to us. Look at it if you would. Look at David. Look at David. The Bible says he comes to where the battle is to be fought in the valley of Elah. And he hears this 9'9" giant, amen, as he tosses out, amen, I want somebody to come down and fight me. And David looks around and nobody will take up the offer. David said, who is this that will come against the living God? And I come by to tell you today that there is no one who can come against the living God. Oh, you may rise up, but there is no victory when you come against the living God. The Bible said, David said, if no one will fight him, I'll fight him. Amen. He rehearsed that, and then someone heard him and told King Saul. Now, this is where it really gets interesting, because King Saul, who the Bible said stood taller than any other man in Israel, you would think he'd have been out there fighting him. Uh-huh. But the Bible said, Saul says to him, well, let me tell you, David, let me help you prepare for the battle. Take my armor and take my beam and go out to fight this giant. But the Bible said David told him, I have not tried these things. I'm not confident using these. And I stopped by to tell you, my brothers and sisters, you need to use what's comfortable to you. Don't try to be anything else. Amen, amen. I know there are those who, when they preach, they want to quote Homer and Plato and Socrates, but I'm glad to quote Jesus. If Jesus said it, amen, that's good enough for me. The simplicity of how he says it is good enough for me. When we talk about what God said, amen, all is well. Amen, amen, amen. There might be an eloquence in saying it the way Socrates would say it, but there's salvation in the way Jesus says it. When I understand that David's strength, amen, was in his reliance upon the Lord. Amen. It's not in the armor. It's not in the 5 smooth stones. But rather it's his reliance in the God that he served. David said, the God that I serve is able to keep me. Can I tell you something, my brothers and sisters? The God that we serve is still able to keep us. Does not matter what you're going through, God will take care of you. Have I got a witness? Amen. Cast all your cares on him, for he cares for you. We like to believe that it requires some magical incantation for God to come down. No. Amen. Amen. God will respond to a simple, Lord, help me.
Have I got a witness? Well, somebody's looking at me. Amen. Said, explain that. Well, I'm glad you asked me, which gives me an opportunity to do so. The Bible says that the Apostle Peter saw Jesus walking on the lake of Gennesaret, and he asked him, can I come down to you? And Jesus said, come on. And when Peter got out of the boat, he began to walk on water. Isn't this amazing what you can do when you trust God? But the Bible said as he's walking on the water, he looks at the results of the wind. The wind is blowing tempestuously. Amen. And all of a sudden he becomes afraid. Well, that's the problem when you have fear around the Lord. Amen. Fear and faith cannot exist in the same building. Have I got a witness? Amen. Where there's faith, fear has to go. And where there is fear, there's no faith there. For the Lord will take care of those that are his. But back to Brother Peter. He's walking on water, but all of a sudden he becomes fearful and he begins to sink. But the Bible says he called out. And you know what blesses me? He didn't have time to say, Lord, I know you heard the three Hebrew boys when they were in the fiery furnace. Lord, I know you heard Daniel in the lion's den. He didn't have time to go through that whole litany of things, but rather he simply said, Lord, save me. And I tell you, when you're going through hard trials and tribulations, you don't need to be able to tell the Lord everything that he did for somebody else, because your concern is about your circumstance. So you simply cry out, Lord, save me. And the Bible said immediately the Lord reached down and picked him up. But the thing that I would have us to know, that the Bible lets us know they walk back together on the water. God is able to keep that has been committed unto him against that day. But can I close with talking about David? The Bible said David, after Saul had tried to dress him in his armor. Well, I stop by to tell you, you can never be somebody else. The only person you can really be is yourself. Have I got a witness here? But if you will allow you to be the best that you can be, God will do the rest. Saul said, take my armor and use these because they are proven. But David said, I can't use them. You might have used them, but they are not for me. And so he went down to the brook. The Bible said he picked up 5 smooth stones. And then he put them in his shepherd bag. Have I got a witness? Went on back to where Goliath was. Goliath says, what is this? A little dog that's coming at me. But listen at what David said. You come to me in all your strength, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. And I don't know about you, but if you come in the name of the Lord, he will take care of you. Amen. The Bible says that Goliath rushes toward David, and David reaches into his shepherd pouch, pull out a smooth stone, put it in his slingshot, went around and tossed it to Goliath. And isn't it amazing that when he tossed it, amen, it was not just David's strength, but the strength of the Holy Ghost propelled it into the head of Goliath. The Bible said with one stone, this 9-foot-9 giant fell down, and now he's lying on his back. Ah, yes. And the Bible said David rushes to him, takes his own sword, cuts off his head, puts his head, Lord have mercy, on display. I stop by to tell you today, if you can trust God, he'll let you put the enemy on display. He will show you what a great God he is. How I got a witness? David goes into town holding the head of Goliath. Ah, yes, God is a good God, worthy to be praised. David was all in. But can I lend this message? I gotta tell you about the son of David. He was all in. Have I got a witness sitting on the right hand of God? He said, sacrifices you don't want, but give me a body and I'll go down and redeem man. I'm talking about all in. Jesus, the matchless Lamb of God, the Bible says, step through 42 generations, born of a virgin. Have I got a witness? He was all in because he knew. Have I got a witness? What can wash away the sins of the whole world? Not Tide, not a detergent, but the precious blood of the Lamb of God. He born of a virgin, wrapped in swaddling clothes, laid in a manger. But that's not what's so good, because the Bible says it was on a Friday. Can I go ahead and preach? It was on a Friday. He put a cross on his shoulder, went up a hill called Golgotha. They nailed his hands, they riveted his feet, they stretched him wide, they dropped him low. He died, he died. He gave his life as a ransom for our sins. But it was not enough that he died, for he died for our sins. But he was raised for our justification. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Justification, just like I never sinned. The old folks said the old account has been settled long ago. My name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. Jesus was all in. He gave his life. But the thing about it, he was able 3 days hence to pick it up again. He got up with all power. Do you know him? Have you tried him? If you haven't tried him, come to Jesus right now. If you come to him, he will in no wise cast you out. There's a new life in Jesus. The old folks said, oh, thank you, Holy Ghost. He puts running in your feet, clap it in your hands, joy bell ring. There's something on the inside. Have I got a witness? There's a joy that the world didn't give you, and the world can't take it away. You might have trials, you might have tribulations, there might be things that'll happen in your life. There'll be a Harvey, have I got a witness? There'll be an Irma, but God said, I am still God. I have all power. Can you trust him? I don't know about you, but when I look at JC, a living testimony, the God that we served picked her up in the power of the Holy Ghost, brought her back. Can't nobody, Dr. Bobo, Dr. Whoever, can't do it. Nobody but the Lord. There's somebody here. You are not all in. You got 1 foot in the church, 1 foot in the world, but you need to be all in. When you're all in, all of these blessings belong to me. I am the head, not the tail. I am above and not beneath. When I understand who I am in the Lord, I can say, as the poet said, I will trust in the Lord. And the hellhounds are coming. I will trust in the Lord when the storms are raging. Have I got a witness here? But I will trust in the Lord, I know He'll make it all well as I come to a close. If you are not all in, this is your moment. I can hear the word saying, I came to Jesus as I was, weary, wounded, and sad, but I found in Him a resting place, and He has made me glad. Are you glad today? I'm glad positionally of where I am. I'm thankful for positionally where I am. I am willing to be submissive to the God of the universe. Lead me, mold me, make me whatever you want me to be. And we got a witness. Somebody needs to know we serve a good God. He's all right. He's all right. He's all right. Yeah, yeah.
Are you all in? Amen. You're either all in or not in. Uh-huh. Somebody said, well, most of me, well, that's like being in a 32-degree weather and a little bit of you's out. Guess what? All of you will feel it. Come on, talk to me. Amen. Well, I almost got in, yeah, but you left a part out. And that exposed part will feel the elements. The exposed parts of your life will be open and receptive to the evil one. That's why you turn your whole life over to Jesus. We are all in. Because if we are all in, He has no place. Have I got a witness? But the Bible said, give not place to the devil. See, if you let him in for just a little place, that's all he wants. If he can get in an inch, amen, the next thing you know, he's ruling your life. And you wonder, how did it happen? Because you left yourself exposed. But when you're all in, the blessings of the Lord will cover you. And when the evil one comes against you, amen, Isaiah says he raises up, come on, say it, a standard. That's right, can't get to me for the standard. I mean, he tries, but he can't get to me. May we all stand. If you're here today, you